What's up, listeners? I'm back with a new episode of Are You Familiar With This Podcast with Kush Bhatt. Yeah, that's me. And thank you for tuning in. And this would be a very informative and fun episode, as we are gonna dive into very controversial and very trendy topic. Any guesses? Yeah, that's cryptocurrencies and blockchain. For this episode, I have with me Nicholas Protein from Lord.One, a SPAC member and spokesperson for Lord Project. Welcome, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm doing so great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So before we explore further, listeners, just go to the Lord.One website for this project. It's so elegant and easy to navigate the website and explain every offering in detail. So do check out that. That's www.lord.one. So Nick, tell our listeners more about you and where are you from and where are you recording from now?
Yeah, for sure. So I live in the west coast of British Columbia, Canada. It's a beautiful region of the world. Everybody knows Vancouver, but where I live is actually known for beautiful wineries, lots of sunny, warm weather, and it's actually a little bit of our own little Silicon Valley. So there are 500 tech startups in this small little town city of 200,000 people. So it's a pretty close-knit community. I've lived here for a better part of a decade now. My role within the Lode Project is a COO role, so chief operating officer. So it's really my mission to make sure that all the different departments and all the different areas of the business are all pulling together towards the same goal. And what I was doing prior to Lode was I was still working in the blockchain space, but I was all doing a lot of consulting for businesses and e-commerce. I was working in cybersecurity. So I was still working very much in the tech space even prior to working into blockchain, but I've worked in blockchain since, roughly around the 2016, 2017 time area, which is when one of the companies I was consulting came to me and they said, "I'd like to start accepting cryptocurrencies." And I said, "What is a cryptocurrency?" Because I think at that time, you know, Bitcoin hadn't quite exploded yet, but I also think that's how most people come into contact with crypto. But it's such a fascinating and exciting industry right now that I think is changing the way that we people engage with money and the way businesses engage with money. And that's largely what we do at Lode. We produced stabilized currencies that are backed by gold and silver. So some of you may remember a time when the United States dollar and a lot of the world's currencies were actually using gold and silver. And during these periods, money was actually a lot better because you were protected from inflation to an extent. Of course, it wasn't 100% bullet. But with this blockchain technology, we're able to put gold-backed currencies and silver-backed currencies back into circulation for people to use and send and spend as a better form of money than the Canadian dollar or the US dollar or whatever dollar they may have at this period of time. And what we've been doing for the past 4 years is building the tools to make this money easy to use, easy to send, easy to spend, you know, whether you want to hold your Bitcoin, you want to hold some gold or silver, or whether you, want to hold traditional currencies in your wallet as well. So it's an all-in-one type of solution. But back over to you.
Yes, absolutely. A fascinating technology, and it has changed the meaning of money and monetary system overall. So yes, totally agreed with you. Yeah. So before exploring Lode, why don't we refresh our audience with what's the blockchain and, you know, smart contracts and about cryptos in very layman term, as few listeners would be still unfamiliar with it. So Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, blockchain can often seem very intimidating, a little scary almost, especially if you're not somebody with a tech background. And even for me, having worked in cybersecurity and in the tech industry, it took me a while to wrap my head around how a blockchain worked. But I will do my best. I'll use lots of metaphors. So right now, it's important to distinguish the difference between blockchain and a cryptocurrency. So we'll start at the very beginning. A blockchain essentially is a ledger that is held on a network of computers, that, right? And this ledger is able to transfer values back and forth. Now, this becomes valuable because in traditional systems, payment systems, what actually is taking place when you use a credit card or a debit card, or you're conducting a business with digital money, what's really taking place here is that one bank is speaking to another bank, and they're acting as what's called a trusted party, right? To say, yes, we approve this transaction and the money will be sent to this other person's bank account, right? That's what happens when you go to a grocery store and you pay through a digital means like a debit or a credit card. What cryptocurrency says is that, and what blockchains allow for, is to take out the bank as this middleman and say, no, you can depend on this technology to validate and confirm that this transaction is taking place. You don't need to depend on an institution of people to verify this transaction and approve this transaction, because you can have trust in this technology, right? And they use what's called a consensus algorithm, which is basically a fancy way of saying a network of computers are reaching an agreement on these transactions. Now, when transactions are completed, they are stored in blocks. And blocks are almost like Lego. If you're familiar with the product Lego, right? You can stack and you can build them with it, build on it. And it's like a Lego structure that you can't take apart. They just stack one on top of each other, right? And it only goes up, and you can't remove or take apart or reassemble once that block is put into place. And this is why you often hear with blockchain the phrase immutable.
Yes, right?
Because once it is processed, it's set in stone.
You can't change.
Yeah, it can't change, right? And so that, in a very, very small nutshell, is what a blockchain does. Smart contracts allow us to build on that transact, that send receive type function. It allows for advanced capabilities. So for example, if a certain criteria is met, then do this, right? That's not just a simple send and receive. We're now adding additional layers into it. So smart contracts are not available to all blockchains, but they do allow for advanced sort of behaviors with the currency or with the technology. So that's what a blockchain is. That's a very rough, very basic description of it. And what cryptocurrencies are financial tools. Those are financial assets that are built using this blockchain technology. So I can break down the cryptocurrencies that exist in the market today to kind of into three categories. You have your really speculative assets, and this would be your Bitcoins and a lot of the smaller altcoins out there, where they are essentially being traded like stocks, right? Or they are being held onto because people are speculating on them because they think the price is going to go up, and that's fine, right? Those are very similar to stocks, bonds, ETFs, and so on. Then you have a second class, which is the Ethereums, the EOSs, the Trons of the world, the platform type cryptocurrencies. And these are almost essentially like operating systems. These blockchains allow people and projects to put their businesses, their ideas, and create their own cryptocurrencies using the infrastructure that the blockchain network provides, Ethereum being the biggest and most widely accepted among them. So a good metaphor is they're almost like an operating system for your computer, like a Windows or a Mac, right? Has iOS operating system or a Windows operating system. In that sense, Ethereum is almost providing a similar service for companies, businesses, and individuals that want to tokenize projects or things and put them onto blockchains. Then there is a third type of cryptocurrency. And these are cryptocurrencies that are backed by something tangible, something real, something that you can touch in most circumstances, although it's not always the case. These are commonly known as stable coins, right? And these currencies are your USDCs, your USDTs, government-backed, they represent either dollars, or they can also represent the kind of commodities that we sell at load, right? We have a gold-backed currency where every single one of our coins represents a gram of vaulted, audited, and insured gold. And similarly, we have one for silver, or sorry, a milligram of gold for our gold currency. And then our silver is a gram of silver per silver-backed coin that we produce, right? So these are stable coin assets. And the role they serve is right in the name, right? They're stable. So you have Bitcoin, right? And Bitcoin goes up, Bitcoin goes down. You know, one day it's worth $60,000, the next day it's worth $40,000. As a business owner or as an entrepreneur, it can be very difficult to price your products and services with an asset like Bitcoin because of these big wild price swings, right? Stable currencies are designed for businesses, for trade and commerce, and for wealth preservation so that people can have confidence with that when they go and they spend $3, that, you know, they ultimately it will still be worth $3 at the end of the day, right? Not that it might be worth $2 or it might be worth $10, right? So they can have that stability there. So those are the three kinds of cryptocurrencies in the market. So I'll put it back over to you now. I did just dump a ton of information on you, but hopefully I made it a little digestible.
Yes, absolutely, in a very plain and layman manner. So Nick, I didn't want to discuss about Dogecoin, but you know, I couldn't resist. So please spotlight on that.
I don't know. Okay. Dogecoin is a really interesting blockchain out there. For those who don't know, it was made as a joke. It was always supposed to be a meme. You know, I'm sure many of you have seen the Doge memes out there. I love the Doge memes. I love memes in general. But it was a joke. And even the founder and the creator of it very much agreed that was the purpose of it. It has an infinite supply. It always puts new coins and tokens into circulation. But now what has happened, because big influencers like Elon Musk, like Mark Cuban now, and have put so much money and put so much effort into marketing this, is now it stands as something that has become almost legitimate in terms of a token that you could use for payments. That being said, anybody that is new to cryptocurrency, I would not recommend starting with Dogecoin, right?
Yes.
Because the currency supply is infinite, if you buy in at the wrong time, you could get severely burned, right? And it's one of those assets that I would say is really, really speculative. You know, if you are somebody who perhaps day trades stocks already, or you have comfort around how to invest properly, you know, sure, maybe try your hand at Dogecoin. I don't want to say that it's wrong or bad for anybody to invest in it, but I would highly recommend that you understand what you are doing before you invest in those. So that's kind of my take on Dogecoin right now.
Thank you, Nick. So listeners, I hope you got a gist about this decentralized revolutionary technology. And now let's explore Load and what types of problem is it solving. Very excited to hear that. So go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned before, Load produces stable coins, right? The stable currencies that are backed by gold and silver. And there's a really good logic for this, right? Most of the world's major empires and throughout most of history, almost universally, we have used gold and silver as money, right? It has a great track record even today as what's called a store of value, right? So that means in times of financial crisis, you know, the stock market crashes, sky is falling, whatever, people tend to go to silver and gold because they tend to either preserve their wealth or grow in value, right? And so that kind of stability protects people from inflation, right? Which is, you know, the rising or the devaluation of your currency because more is constantly being put into circulation. This is why when I was a child, what used to cost me $1 to go buy now costs me $2, right? And because gold and silver preserve that value so well, you know, you are protected to an extent from that inflation. So we produce this digital money and people can use it like regular gold and silver if they want to speculate on it, because we know, of course, that silver and gold are very speculative for some people as well. So you can treat it that way, but you can also use it to spend on food or on, you know, your Netflix subscription or whatever it may be that you want to spend. It is effectively money again. So that's one side of what load produces, right? Then we have our whole payments platform. And so this is one of the areas that's about to become one of the most competitive spaces in the blockchain arena, because most people right now are buying into cryptocurrencies because they want to ride the wave. They want to generate some wealth, and that's great. But Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies were initially created to be payment tools, payment vehicles, mediums of exchange. And there is a great argument to say that they are better than government-backed money because they are not controlled by any single one entity, right? They are distributed. They operate autonomously. No more Bitcoin can ever be minted ever, right? And so there is this level [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of comfort and security with Bitcoin that you can't get from traditional government currencies, right? So once we reach the peak of adoption, right? Once most people in the world hold a little bit of cryptocurrencies, it is very likely that businesses and entrepreneurs will want to accept payment with these cryptocurrencies because that's what they were designed for. And so this is why you're now seeing Visas and PayPal and MasterCard and Venmo and all these sort of big banks and networks in the Western world start to migrate over to this. And it's happening across the world as well. I mean, I live in the Western world, yeah. So obviously my view is skewed to that arena, but we are a multinational company active in 135 countries. And we're speaking to businesses on the daily that are really eager to be able to accept this new kind of money. And so tools need to be built. People need a way to do this. And so we've been spending a lot of money on giving people an all-in-one solution. So yes, you can process regular old cash, right, in your local currency, whether that's debit, credit, or physical cash. You will be able to accept cryptocurrencies, right? So your Bitcoins, your Ethereums, your Ripples, whatever you want, your Dogecoins, whatever you want to be able to accept, you'll be able to accept that. And then in addition to that, at the end of the day, you will be able to settle to gold and silver if you'd like. So no longer having to depend on that government currency to retain its value and hope that it never inflates. You'll be able to instantly settle to those fiat currencies through this payments technology. And it's a really exciting opportunity because there isn't many solutions out there that are doing that for merchants and businesses. Right now, everything is kind of focused on getting people to buy cryptocurrencies through exchanges. So this is, in a nutshell, what we're doing over at Load. And as I mentioned before, we're active in 135 countries, but we're growing daily and aggressively. And it's such an exciting time to be coming to the market with this opportunity. So back to you.
Yeah. So what's the story behind the name Load?
That's a great question. It comes from the mining phrase, right? Are you familiar with the term the mother load?
No.
A mother load is a vein of ore or mineral. So when you are mining, right, you might find little specks. You might find little specks of the mineral you're looking for, right? That gold or silver. A vein is when you find a huge running body of the metal that you're looking for, right? So a mother lode is a massive, massive vein that you find. So it's in the Western world, it's an English metaphor for saying you've hit the jackpot almost, Yeah. Right. But yeah. it works because it is very much related to mining. It is a mining term. And we largely produce digital gold and silver. So it was a fun play on words that led to the name Lode.
Very fascinating concept. And yes, I'll do check out the Google more about that.
One of the most interesting areas to me about these cryptocurrencies is that right now, as I mentioned before, everything's about speculation. I shouldn't say everything. A big chunk of the market is focused on speculation, but the user experience is still really difficult for a lot of people. And in order for us to get to the point where the entire world is using this technology, it needs to be easy, right? It needs to be simple. It needs to be convenient to use. When your grandma goes to the grocery store, or when your parents, you know, go to their local deli or shop or what have you, you know, they shouldn't be thinking about, you know, okay, a blockchain is a network of computers that are all working together to reach an agreement. Then it's, you know, they shouldn't have to think about it. It should just work. Right. Yeah. And that's where Visa and these companies have a leg up over cryptocurrency right now. And it's a big part of where my day is spent, is figuring out how do I make this technology easy and simple for people to use. And that's going to be the next big challenge. When the industry at large figures that out, I think within the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see almost all money in the world move over to using a blockchain, whether that is a government-backed blockchain or whether that's just using Bitcoin and all the currencies out there. That's going to depend on the country that you're speaking about. But I do believe that the entire financial sector, everything from stocks, bonds, ETFs, cryptocurrencies, cash, and banking will all be conducted on blockchains in the near future.
Yeah, absolutely. Because many companies are moving towards it. Many big banks are also parting in this blockchain, you know, run.
So, yeah. I mean, and I'm glad you said that as well, because if you follow the money, right? If you look at what these banks are doing, if you look at what big investment hedge funds are doing, if you look at what pension funds are doing, and I realize this might be a little more sophisticated than some people are aware of, but if you just do some simple research online of what these big pools of money are doing, almost all of them are now moving into holding at least a little bit of Bitcoin, if nothing else. That's on the conservative side. Lots of them are aggressively investing in new technology projects that are using crypto or using blockchain. So if you stand back and you look at that big picture, it becomes pretty clear, you know, that this is the way that the world is moving. But I'll say this, you know, there are other applications of blockchain technology that aren't just cryptocurrencies. I think blockchain actually has a really incredible ability to change a great number of things in our society. Digital identity is one of them, for example. And some people may like being anonymous, but there are lots of places in the world where people are unable to get bank accounts because they don't have any identification, right? Yeah. Or they're underbanked, or they don't have access to these tools because of this lack of ID. And with a blockchain, because it is immutable, because it cannot be manipulated, we can create digital identities for people and help them get access to a universal identification that cannot be destroyed, that cannot be lost, right? And that is a really powerful thing, because now you can bring people into the digital economy of the future, and you can give them the opportunity to actually travel or leave borders and explore the world. And so there are lots of applications in identity for blockchain. Medical records is another great example of where a blockchain might be really valuable. You'd be surprised at how poorly networks of medical networks tend to communicate with each other. you know, the information is not as streamlined, not as straightforward as you might think. And through a blockchain, you know, if you just provided a blockchain address that contained your medical portfolio onto it, you know, doctors could add information into it as you go and visit, as you go and develop throughout your life. And then every time you go to a doctor, they have this whole portfolio of your health just ready and easily accessible, right? And again, cannot be lost, cannot be destroyed, cannot be manipulated. So there are a lot
of... Very secured.
Yeah. And the third example, I think, and this is probably the most philosophical one, if you will, is voting. The way that we engage with electing people right now has a lot of room for human error, right? You have to have people watching the ballot boxes. You have to make sure people aren't, you know, manipulating votes or putting extra votes in and so on. But because a blockchain is, again, immutable and undestroyable, you can create a much more secure way of voting where everybody gets one vote and one vote alone, and there's a guarantee that no one is double dipping, so to speak. So these are just a couple ideas, concepts for you guys to explore. But I wanted to paint a picture that this technology has applications of not just the financial sector. The financial sector is where everybody gets really excited, and that's where I get really excited as well. But this technology is so big that I think it has a lot of power to change a lot of norms in our world.
Yes, and including Lord, because it's a very, you know, stable and in terms of you know, price manipulation and all. So I think Lord project is what you know, we are looking forward to it, because it's backed by not fiat currencies, but backed by, you know, stable and precious metals, what we are using since, you know, 300-400 years before.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we're very excited to bring that out to the world, because we think people need this, right? If you look at lots of places in the world, you know, Zimbabwe a few decades back, their money inflated and it became effectively worthless because there's nothing backing it. Venezuela, Argentina, these areas are all really struggling in the world. And even in, you know, the most developed economies on earth, there is concern and there is risk and there is this fluctuation, and money continues to lose its value and things continue to get more expensive. So if you change the money, if you make the money better, then the people will thrive, right? At least that's what we believe based on our research.
Absolutely. You know, I totally got your point about, you know, creating a simultaneously a different economy based on, you know, virtual and backed by blockchain.
Yeah. So, you know, we've spent 4 years working on this project now. And it's not easy. I'm sure some of you listening out there may already be aware. Gold and silver is a very regulated market in most jurisdictions in the world, and it's complicated and sticky in a lot of areas. And we said, wow, this is really complicated. We should merge this with blockchain, which is also really complicated. So we've taken two of the most complicated, messy regulative environments in the world and put them together. But we've done it in a way where we work with governments and we work with regulators, because we want them to understand that they don't need to be afraid of this stuff, that this is actually beneficial to everybody involved, in the government included, right? And so because of that, I think we've had a great deal of success going into other regions of the world. I think because of all of this work that we've done, you know, it's going to keep us safe from, you know, potentially getting sued. You know, for you media consumers out there, news consumers out there, it's like every other day, it seems like a regulation or a regulatory body is suing a cryptocurrency company saying you're a security or you're an stock, essentially. And we don't have to worry about that, because we've spent so much time working with these regulators hand in hand.
Yeah, it would be very complicated to, you know, understand them and to convince them about, you know, your offerings.
That being said, our technology is out there live today in Apple app stores and in Android. And we're about to launch our desktop wallet as well. So if you're interested in trying out this technology, it's really, really easy to get access to it. All you need to do is head over to loadpay.com, LODEPAY.com. And you can download this mobile wallet within seconds and start building a portfolio of digital assets for yourself if you don't already have one. If you are really uncomfortable or you want to learn a little bit more and you want to talk to real people before you make any sort of buying or investment, you can head over to Lode.one, LODE.one, that's our investor website, and you can talk to a real human being. You can go into our social channel. There's a good group of us. We're all very, very friendly. Or you can head on to our chat support and you'll have an ambassador, a real human being who's there to talk with you and help you get comfort around what we're doing. Because I do believe that this is the biggest wealth generation event of our lifetimes. I think that this cryptocurrency and this type of money is creating more opportunity people than ever before that we've seen on this planet. And I want as many people all over the world to get involved in this and to take advantage of it. Right. So, come say hi. We're friendly.
Yeah. So tell our audience that what they could expect in, near future from Lode Projects and Lode Pay's roadmap for 2021.
Yeah, for sure. So, we've built the backbone of the system and now it's time to get loud about it. So that's why I'm coming on shows like yours and chatting with great people like yourself. This is why we're listing on exchanges this year. We have three in the pipeline here and more to come all over the world. And it's really about getting more merchants and more businesses using this payments technology so that they can start taking advantage of all the benefits that cryptocurrencies and stable money have to offer them. And it's really as simple as that. I almost sound, wish it was a little more complicated, but but we've spent so long being quiet and building up to this that now it's about going out to the world and sharing what we've done with everybody.
Yes, absolutely. So any plans to explore in, emerging markets and other regions?
Oh my goodness. Yes, absolutely. I mean, we're really, really excited to go into developing nations and into emerging markets. And, in Africa, India would be incredible. Just to name a couple off the top of my head. What we try to do in each region is to talk to experts and people who are experts in the localization and the culture of each region of the world that we go into and each country that we go into, because, you only get one chance at a first impression. And if you do it wrong, then it's kind of hard to go come back from that. Right. So we go in and when we say, hey, we want to go into Africa, or hey, we want to go into India, what we do is we look for people who are legal experts, people who are marketing and cultural experts. And we come to these experts and we say, hey, how, in your opinion, how would you go about approaching these regulators or approaching this market? What's going to be most attractive? And what do these people really need? How do we get this in the hands of these people? What's going to be the most compelling thing for this group of people? And that's how we approach every single market in the world. So emerging markets are on the docket. And I think emerging economies are some of the best use cases for that, because you're not as weighed down as some regions of the world, like let's say the United States, just for easy conversation. There is so much regulation and so much complexity to the regulatory system there that going into it is so slow, so heavy, so long, because they have this massive pool of difficult legislation to work through. Developing nations tend to be they tend to adopt new technology faster. And so, it's my hope that as we go into these more regions of the world, that so long as the regulators in that region are open to working with cryptocurrencies, for example, China was one for a long time that was not a fan of cryptocurrencies and just banned them as much as possible. So, you know, it does depend on the governments of the region being open to it. But so long as that is the case, you know, I think emerging economies are some of the ones that will benefit most from this type of money.
Yeah, but in turn, they issued their own digital currency, right?
Yeah, I think most governments in the world will issue their own government backed currency, but it's difficult to keep it the cat in the bag, to use a metaphor. So essentially, once you give people access to cryptocurrencies, because they don't require a middleman, you and I could just trade Bitcoin back and forth, and there's literally nothing nobody could do to stop us. If you had a Bitcoin wallet and I had a Bitcoin wallet, there's nothing they can do to stop that, right? You know, short of taking down the entire internet. And because of that, once you really allow acceptance of cryptocurrencies into the world, it becomes difficult to contain that again. I think that most governments will have their currencies that people will use either for trade and commerce if they want, or maybe to pay taxes or pay bills that are owed to the government or government agencies. But I think in the future, most people will hold a basket of these currencies. I think most people will probably hold a little bit of Bitcoin, a little bit of Ethereum, probably a good chunk of gold and silver, right? They might have some real estate on the blockchain, and when they need to go pay for something or pay for a service or a good, they may change a little bit of that into cash as they need to, which is kind of different than how we do it right now, right?
A great insightful episode, and thanks, Nick, as our listeners would be very excited to be part of this revolution. Mention where they can find more info or get connected with Lord.One and with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm very friendly. Come say hi to me on Twitter. It's just my name, at Nicholas Proutan. That's NicholasProuten. I'm always happy to talk with people who are interested about the space. If you're interested in Load, as I said earlier, you can go to loadpay.com if you just want to download the wallet and start buying gold and silver and crypto today. Or alternatively, you can go to load.one and read all the really important investment materials. You can read about the business, how we work, who's involved, all that kind of nitty gritty stuff. If that's the kind of person you are, you can visit that at lode.one. As I mentioned before, we have our social media channels available on these websites. And our Telegram group is, a great community that is eager and excited to bring new people in and talk about all the great stuff that we're doing. So come say hi to us.
Yes, I saw, Load community is very loud and very, creating awareness in social media about this project. Be a part of that. Thanks, Nick, for joining in, and hope to hear more about Load in the future, and all the best for it.
Oh, thank you so much again for having me.
So that was Nicholas Proutan from Load.One, and he shared a great project with us, and I'll mention every links in show notes, so will be handy to you. I hope you enjoy this episode as I enjoyed recording this. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in this episode, and I'll say goodbye to you. For now, if you like this episode, do rate us on Podchaser and subscribe to this podcast wherever you are tuning this now. So until next time.